Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spouse Buzz Talk Radio. Good evening and thanks for joining us. I'm Andy Hurley with Spouse Buzz, and tonight we have a great show lined up for you. In a few minutes, we'll be joined by Donna Musel. She is the filmmaker and Army brat behind the film Bratz, Our Journey Home. Now, before we go any further, why does Andy sound so funny? I have to tell you, this afternoon I went into the dentist's office for a routine teeth cleaning, and while I was there, the dentist said, well, let me just probe around a little bit in there and make sure everything else is okay. It wasn't. So he looks at me and says, well, since A, you're about to move because I'm in the middle of a PCS, and B, the appointment behind you canceled, why don't we just take care of that nasty little problem? Well, that nasty little problem entailed numbing half of my mouth. And so I looked at the clock. It was 3 o'clock, and I said to him, well, will the numbness be worn off by 6 o'clock? I said, I have a speech to give. So I lied, because if I said I'm hosting a radio show, he would have thought I was nuts. And he said, yeah, it should be. It's not. So my mouth is still swollen on one side and numb, so just bear with me. Now, before we get to Donna, I want to go over just a few administrative items with you, the first of which is about this radio show. We've had many, many complaints about our time slot, which is from 6 to 7 Eastern time. And a lot of you have said that during that time you're driving home from work, just arriving home from work, feeding kids, taking care of kids. Got it. We hear you. We understand. Hundreds of you listened to our last show via the archive, and that's great. We're glad you did, but it does defeat the purpose of the show, which is to have an interactive discussion between us, our guests, and you. So if you can't listen live, you can't phone into the show or participate via our Yahoo instant messaging chat room. So in the coming weeks, we will be moving the show to a more adult-friendly prime time slot, say 8 or 9 o'clock p.m. And if you have a preference, if you prefer 8 or 9, leave it in a comment at Spouse Buzz, and we will take that under advisement. You know what Spouse Buzz Talk Radio needs? We need some of that dramatic music that they play at, like, Fox News and CNN and MSNBC that alerts you some breaking news is about to be announced, because news, 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 I'm breaking some news here tonight. See, if you don't listen to the show, you're going to miss a lot. Since Spouse Buzz debuted last September, we have taken our show on the road twice, once to Killeen, Texas, home of Fort Hood, and more recently to San Diego. In fact, just last month we were in San Diego, home of several naval and marine bases. Well, we're doing it again. So far, we've been to the middle of the country and to the West Coast. And many of you have asked, is Spouse Buzz Live ever going to come to the East Coast? And the answer is yes, we are. We're going to be holding another live event this fall on the East Coast. And now might be a good time to remind you that a lot of you said you didn't care where the next one was. If it was on the East Coast, you were going to drive and join us. So we're going to hold you to that. So we're tentatively looking at the month of October on the East Coast. We're in the very early planning stages. So as soon as we have date, place, and time nailed down, we'll make an announcement on SpouseBuzz.com. And trust me, you don't want to miss this event. It's incredibly fun and spirited and emotional, and it's always a pleasure to meet other military spouses and just have a day of fellowship. I think I can speak for most, if not all, of the Spouse Buzz authors when I say that our live events are our very favorite thing to do, because nothing beats being in the same room and having a dialogue face-to-face with our readers. So look for information about that in the coming weeks. Well, it's probably wicked for me to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. We've been working on some very special guests for our July 19 show. As of now, things are looking really, really good that this will happen. So consider this just a cruel teaser, but mark your calendars, July 19th. If everything comes together, we're going to have a very entertaining, lively, and fun show for you on the 19th. Tonight, if you want to be on air with us, Donna will be taking your questions and comments live. So call us at 646-478-5665. Another way you can join the discussion is by using Yahoo Instant Messenger. You can submit your questions and comments via IM, and our Yahoo IM name is SpouseBuzz, all lowercase. I see several people are already in the chat room and ready to go. I'll be monitoring the Yahoo chat throughout the show. Also joining in the conversation tonight is Ginger, otherwise known as G-Bear at SpouseBuzz. Ginger has a very unique perspective on our topic tonight because she grew up as a military brat. She's a military spouse, and she's raising three military brats. So I'm going to put Ginger on the line with us, if you'll bear with me for a moment. Ginger, can you hear us?
Hey. Yeah, I can. Hi, Andy.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Let's get right to it. Each time someone asks me about how technology is important to modern-day military spouses, I say that I couldn't imagine being a mil spouse during World War II, Korea, or even as recently as Vietnam, waiting weeks and weeks for a letter that is precious but out of date by the time it reaches you. No, I can't imagine what that must have been like.
I can't either.
Military families are so blessed today to live in an era of booming technology. We have instant messaging and email and webcams and a fairly timely postal service so that we can get letters and packages to and from places like Afghanistan and Iraq. And this technology, I think, has also contributed to expanding the historical record with respect to documenting our lives as military spouses. I think blogs like SpouseBuzz and radio shows like this one will leave historians and other military families of future generations with an extensive record of what it was like to be a military spouse during the global war on terror. But for those who came before us, not so much. While there's letters and photos and film tucked away in attics all across the country, there's really not that much information, at least that I've been able to find, available publicly, and that is a real shame. So let's talk brats, military brats. Same holds true for them. Today's generation of mil brats have exhaustive ways to document their lives and make it available to anyone who may want to learn more. But what about those who came before them?
And you know, I don't even think it has to do with documenting their lives even, just maintaining contact. You know, when I was growing up and we moved, you moved. I mean, we may exchange letters, but I don't keep in touch with a lot of the people that I grew up with, a lot of the friends that I made in the various stations we had, because letters would go, you'd move to another station, you know, things just got lost. People got lost a lot easier. Whereas with the technology, my kids stay closer with friends that they've had in prior assignments. May not be every day, may not be every week, but it's definitely they do keep in contact that way. We used to have to wait till we, you know, reconnected in a move to connect with an old friend, because you always did in the military. You always reconnected on another base. But they can keep in touch with emails, and I think that's important too.
Well, exactly. I mean, I think technology is good for that reason. But also, our guest tonight, Donna Musil, has preserved a lot of history for military brats. In her film, Brats, Our Journey Home, it's a film that spans several generations of mil brats, and from a historical perspective, I think she's done an ingenious thing by obtaining old film footage and photos from military brats from as far back as the World War II generation. She's done a great service for military families and military brats in particular. Brats was a 7-year labor of love for Donna, and her vision is now a reality and available for the world to see. So what I want to do right now is just to give you an abbreviated version of Donna's very impressive bio, and I'm going to read this part, so just bear with me. As I mentioned in the intro, Donna is an Army brat. Brats is her 7-year work of passion. It's the first film Donna has directed and produced. Before embarking on Bratz, Donna wrote a variety of scripts and worked on several film projects. Prior to her writing career, Donna worked as an attorney with the AFL-CIO and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. She has a JD and BA in journalism from the University of Georgia and is a member of the State Bar of Georgia. Donna was raised an Army brat and has lived and worked in, are you ready for this, Germany, Korea, Ireland, Copenhagen, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Washington, D.C., Georgia, North Carolina, Virginia, Kentucky, and Paris. I think she's racked up some frequent flyer miles there. As a child, Donna moved 12 times in 16 years. Her father was a JAG officer and a military judge, and when she was 16, her father died, 2 weeks later, her family moved to Columbus, Georgia, home of Fort Benning, where she finished high school. For the full version of Donna's bio, please see the website bratsourjourneyhome.com. So I think we have Donna on the phone with us. Without further ado, let's welcome Donna. Donna, thanks for joining us this evening. We're really excited to have you.
Hi, Andy. I'm really excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
We appreciate your time tonight. Before we get to the heart of Bratz, the film, can you just tell us what inspired you to make a film about military brats?
Well, I think what originally inspired me is when I was just kind of surfing along the Internet back in 1997, and I discovered a group of kids that I had gone to school with in Daegu, Korea, like 20, 25 years earlier. I had not seen these kids who were adults at that point in so long, but when we got together, we had this kind of impromptu reunion in Washington, D.C., and when I went up there and visited them, it was really an epiphany for me. For the first time in my life, I felt like I belong somewhere. And I looked around the room, and we were all different colors, and we were all different, you know, religions, and our jobs were quite different. But I noticed that we all sounded the same, and we had kind of the same feelings about things. And that's what really started me on this journey. And then I went out and did the research and discovered all the different books on the subject, including Mary Wirch's book. I don't know if you're familiar with that one. It was written about 15 years ago. And it really opened my eyes to who I was and, you know, why I was the way I was. And that's how it got started.
Well, when you went into the project in the early stages and you were jotting out ideas, did you have a preconceived notion of what you would learn from putting this project together and the brats that you interviewed? And if you did that notion hold true or did it change?
Well, not really. I mean, like many brats, when I was growing up, I mean, I knew I was an Army brat, but I didn't know that meant anything, you know, other than it was, I really enjoyed being a brat as I was a kid. I mean, there were difficulties, of course, along the way, but it was almost like that was your life then, and then at 18, or 23 in my case when I got out of college, then here is your total civilian life. And the two were so completely different. But you just didn't think about it. You didn't make the connections. And when I got back together with my friends, when I read Mary's book, when I started doing the research, that's when I discovered all the connections that they had made. But then I went and did my own research because I wanted to make sure. And I came up with a very extensive but completely open-ended questionnaire for people to fill out. And I received like over 500 questionnaires from people, up to 70 pages typed. And so I just really went by what they said.
How did you find these people?
I'm sorry, how did I find the people? A lot of it was word of mouth. I put up a website, and people seemed to find me. I'm not quite sure how, but I also wrote all the different alumni associations. I don't know if everybody knows that there are many alumni associations, particularly of the kids that lived overseas. And once the Internet started up, a lot of these people started getting back together again as adults. And so that we were able to reach a lot of them. Also through, I think it's militarybrat.com, which is the Military Brats Registry. I think they have over like 70,000, 80,000 people signed up now. And that's where you can go and find your friends. And I found some of my friends through that website.
You know, I thought it was interesting. I read in the press kit that your publicist sent me that we don't really know how many brats there are out there.
Don't know. No one keeps track of it. After you leave that environment, I mean, the military doesn't keep, I don't even think they keep track of it while you're there, but they certainly don't keep track of it when you're gone. So we really had to guesstimate, and according to the estimates of how many people went to schools in overseas schools and DOD schools here, we really guesstimate that there's about 15 million military brats in the United States alone. And that doesn't even cover, you know, foreign service kids and corporate kids that moved all around the world and lived a very similar lifestyle. And what I found that was truly unique, I thought,
was that when I show the film, military brats of other countries relate to the film as well.
Oh, that's interesting.
So we have Thai military brats or Indian or French and Canadian. They're like, they watch the film and they go, oh, that's my life. So it's pretty funny.
Yeah. You know, something, and I have to tell everyone, Donna was in town last night in Washington, D.C., where I currently live, screening her film, and I tried like mad to get over and see it, but I couldn't. So her publicist sent Ginger and I a press kit and the Spouse Buzz authors with a more extensive trailer than what's available on their website, bratsourjourneyhome.com. So we were able to see a little more of the film. And looking through the press packet, I thought it was interesting that several people commented, you know, this is not an easy topic. There are a lot of ups and downs, good and bad. And I think with Spouse Buzz, one thing that we do, of course, for specific to military spouses, but we don't shy away from the tough subjects. And we bare our soul, and sometimes this life is great, and sometimes, well, quite frankly, it sucks. And it seems that you have done the same thing with Bratz. So why don't you just tell us about the film itself and what we can expect to get out of it?
Okay. Well, the film is the first that I know of, the first documentary that talks about growing up military and the long-term effects it has on you, and really the profound effects it has on many military brats. I don't know if Ginger feels the same way, but you know, I really was formed by those first 18 years, or 16 years in my case, in the military, in both very positive ways, and in some ways there were some weaknesses that I learned that I had to get over as an adult, just skills that I did not learn, that you really couldn't learn going from place to place and place. And so that's how it started. I felt very strongly that I wanted to talk about both the positives and the more challenging aspects of growing up this way, because I was hoping that, you know, the younger kids and the spouses of military brats today can learn from what we went through and possibly make it easier for them. I mean, some things are just inherent in the lifestyle. It's just the nature of the beast, and you'll never get away from it. But you can make it easier for the kids, I think, simply by doing a number of things, including just talking about it and letting the kids feel free to air their feelings. I know that's hard for some kids today.
I know when my siblings, they have ID envy of me, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
I still have an ID card, and it really bothers them that they don't have that ID card anymore. That was like your identity, and it's such a big day when you got your ID card, and then to give that up and to, like you said, cut yourself off from that life, that was hard.
It is hard.
I go on base with them now, and I flash my ID card, and they have a little ID envy there.
Well, and I think what that is, you know, obviously, is it's not so much, you know, whether you can go to the PX or the commissary. It's that's your home. I mean, it's like being raised in Washington, D.C., and then told at 18 or 23 years old, you could never go back to Washington, D.C. again.
Yeah.
Ever. You know, only if someone invites you. We miss our culture. So I think a lot of that is just missing. There's nowhere to go home. But I learned through making this film that even the military brats that didn't join the military or marry somebody that joined the military, you do have a home, and it's each other. It's not a place,
well,
but it is each other.
As a military brat, I said, for me, I think it was the best way that I could have ever grown up for many reasons. I am in by nature an introvert. I know Andy's laughing, but I am. I am by nature very introverted.
Oddly.
I know. She's laughing. Give her a margarita. She's much less introverted. But moving as much as I did growing up and being forced into new situations was such an incredibly good experience for me. It forced me to learn skills that I never would have gotten had my parents been civilian and stayed in one area. And it forced me to understand that no matter where I move, there are people I will like, people I don't like, people who will befriend me, people who will betray me. And you have to be able to put yourself in a lot of situations and to know that anywhere you go is okay. It's going to be okay, and you're going to survive, and you'll get through it. And I think those are skills that the military gives you in spades.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm so grateful for that experience. I just think growing up military, the only thing I wish that we could have changed in my military growing up was if we'd gone overseas.
You did get to go overseas. Hmm?
No, my dad had an ICBM. Not a big call for that overseas.
No.
But I've seen more of the United States than many of my civilian friends. My kids have seen more of the United States than most of their friends ever will. And I think that's really, and they're not afraid to move somewhere new. They're not afraid of new experiences. They're willing to go out and tackle those things because they've had to. It's the way of life. And I think that is one of the greatest parts of being a military brat.
I agree. And I think most brats who did not come from, you know, completely dysfunctional families will say that, you know, they wouldn't change growing up a brat for anything. I like to say that, the good things that I got from that life were just the same as what you just said. You know, the tolerance, the sense of mission. And these are all things that Mary talked about in her book 15 years ago. But resilient survivors and the education system, particularly overseas, is fantastic. And I'm not afraid. That's I can pick up and move and meet anywhere and go anywhere. But there were other skills that I had to learn, such as, working through difficulties with people, knowing it's okay to get mad at somebody and to have a difference of opinion, and that it's
painting walls colors other than white.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's
dramatic things.
Yeah, these were things that I actually had to learn. The loss issues are huge for military kids. You lose so many people, and it's not just people. It's your reputation, what you've built. If you're an athlete, you may not be able to continue your athletic career. You start making friends one place, and you move to another place. You have to start all over again. So we learn how to start all over again. But continuing, I know my friends have said, you're so commitment phobic sometimes. I know how to start over, but continuing through the rough periods when sometimes it's really just easier to just quit and move on. And so I've had to learn how to do that. Also, I know that when you're a little kid and you're moving around all the time, number one, it's different when you're doing all this as a child and your personality is being formed than if you're an adult. I mean, it's completely different. And one of the things you do as a child is if you're making new friends every year and you're moving every year or every 2 years, you know, you can't give of yourself 100% to every single person you meet. Otherwise, you'd go crazy if you had to lose that person over and over and over again. So I think kids learn to hold a little bit of themselves back. And what happens when you grow older sometimes is that you never learn how to truly give of yourself 100% to another person. You're always kind of like waiting for that ball to drop, And
it's funny because my experience was kind of different. I just sort of jump in with 100% because I never know how long that friendship is going to last.
Yeah.
So I tend to swing the other way where, I remember vividly after second grade, we left off at Air Force Base in Nebraska, moved to California, and I was crying because I just left my best friend and my sister, who's older than I am and has, much wiser person and less sympathy for me, said, well, here, I'll give you $5 if you stop crying. Well, that worked.
Okay.
And I went to California, and I met my new best friend, Jackie, and then 2 years later, it was my new best friend, Jennifer. And then, so for me, I would say that I tend toward the opposite. When I get a friend, I tend to be very much out there with myself because I've learned through the military experience and through life experiences that, God, man, you never know how long you're going to be with somebody, so give it all you got.
Yeah, and some people do respond that way. Do you ever find that you can just walk away just as easily as you can jump in?
You know, I don't know that I walk away just as easily, but I do find that I can walk away And for me, I guess I just take it all, and I'm so glad that I have that opportunity.
Yeah.
I just have, I don't know.
Different
I guess
people
I,
are different. You know, there are kids.
Everybody out of it with a different thing, and I think maybe because I am a little more introverted, maybe I never really give as much as I think I do, but I guess everybody reacts to it differently, which is great that there's a show out there like yours that would show how, you know, it affects different people differently and how it's the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah.
Depending on your personality and how you, you know, how you take that.
Yeah.
But and I think I got a lot from my siblings, too. You know, they, in our family, family means so much because it's the center and it's what there is. You know, that's what you take with you. And my siblings were very big growing up into family is key and family is tight and family is what stays and everything else you move.
Right.
You know?
Well, and the hard thing about that is when you get older, and I think you're absolutely right, I mean, those are the people that you could depend on. They were there.
Mm-hmm.
One of the difficulties with that is when you grow older and that family starts dying off.
Yeah.
There's no
Or you're not
left.
In the same geographic location. That's really
yeah.
hard for me.
Yeah.
Being in a different geographic location than my family is one of, and I think many mill spouses feel that anyway because you're geographically separated from family at any point in time is hard. But for mill brats that then become mill spouses,
yeah,
and you're geographically separated and you can't get home for, you know, everything you'd like to be there for, it's very difficult.
Yeah. Now, was your father in the military or your mother?
My dad.
Your dad. And was he in a war when you were a teenager or?
You know, I'm really young, right, Andy?
I'm sure you're younger than
me. I'm really, really young. So my dad joined up during the Vietnam War and okay. I was born right as he I was the gosh, the first year he was in, I was born. And he then served for 20 years.
Okay.
So, really, the Cold War was the war, you know, that I most remember. I have some remembrances of him coming home during Vietnam, but only because he came home out of uniform, and I found that odd.
Yeah. Well, do you have older sisters, or are they younger?
I have an older sister and older brother.
And did you find that their memories are the same as yours or different than yours?
They have a little more of the time when Dad was serving during the Vietnam War, but I think that was, they were still really young.
Yeah.
So the teenage years, you know, we were raised mostly I never went to a DOD or a school, so it was always civilian schools, but they were mostly in areas where there was a predominance of military people.
Yeah.
Okay. Interrupt the introverted Ginger for a moment. And
I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. And just remind everyone that if you have a question or a comment, would like to talk to Donna, please call 646-478-5665. We already have some questions lined up in the chat room, and I'll get to those in a moment. I had a question for you, Donna. We tend to think of projects like this and Spouse Buzz as I don't know, our niche audience, I guess you would say, would be the military. But one goal that I have, and I think all of us have for Spouse Buzz, is that outsiders, because so few people have an affiliation with the military these days, that outsiders can get an honest look at what our lives are really like and appreciate it a bit more. And I noticed that some of the quotes of Mill Brats that had seen your film, George Marshall said, "Who knew that others shared my experiences or even cared?" And a Navy brat, Katie Villani, "You took my most of my feelings and had other people say them." So it seems like the Mill Brat community is very appreciative of your project. But also, I think it's important that non-military people take an interest in this and see it. And I was wondering what kind of reaction you've had from civilians who have seen the film.
Well, that's interesting because I'm staying with an old friend, and they're both civilians here in Washington, D.C. tonight, and they came to the screening last night, and they just said, this was just fascinating. I mean, here's this world that they knew existed, but it is quite closed to a lot of Americans, and they don't know anything about it other than the political hype that everybody, you know,
right.
that this this film is not political at all. It's just really exploring the way it is growing up in this environment. And they found it completely fascinating, and to look at it from all sides, and that was a unique thing for them. And that's what I hear from most civilians. And I think it's really important that the civilians in America understand, you know, what they're asking military families to do.
Right.
And, yeah. You know, if we're going to send people to war, we need to be responsible for the fallout from that, both, you know, the good and the bad. And some of this fallout is generational. You know, it's not just the soldiers. It's the children and the spouses as well. And sometimes it lasts for many years. And I think that that's important, that people have to take responsibility for what they ask military families to do.
Well,
and there is a lot of good.
Kind of a practical question, because I got the teaser on your film, but, gosh, it left me wanting more. And, unfortunately, I'm not going to be at Wright Pat when you guys show it there, which I'm very bummed about.
Well, we just did show it at Wright Pat. We had, like, all 500, 600 people show up.
And I wasn't there. I'm so depressed. How would I... because I'm in the middle of Minnesota, how would I get to see your film?
Well, we are selling copies of the film on
there
the internet.
We
finished a year-long tour. We started in San Francisco and went across the country. You know, the film was made by a nonprofit called Brass Without Borders that I formed to really give military kids a voice and other third culture kids as well. And so right now we're selling it on the website at bratsfilm.com, or the one that you said, I think it was bratsourjourneyhome.com, either one. And right now that's how you can see it primarily. Hopefully it will be on TV at some point in the future, but right now you really need to go to our website.
It's interesting to me because my kids are very interested in seeing it, which kind of surprised me. I didn't think they'd be that interested, but they're very interested in seeing it. So I'm anxious to get a copy and watch it with my children and see their take on it, and then kind of talk about shared experiences.
Oh, yeah, it is funny. In fact, I had an interview with somebody today who was a brat, and her mom was a brat. And after watching the film, they really sat down and started talking and understanding each other more. And that's what happened in my family as well. My mother and I have grown so much closer after I made this film.
Well, that's a great thing. I want to ask you, Donna, I found out that we have several celebrity Mill Brats that I didn't know about. So who are some of those, and are any of them featured in your film?
Well, the only two celebrity brats we have in the film are Kris Kristofferson, who narrates the film, and he also donated the use of, like, 8 of his songs.
Great job narrating, by the way.
I'm sorry?
He does a great job narrating.
Oh, thank you.
He does a great job at almost everything he does. Mm-hmm. He's an amazing person.
I agree.
Must be that military brat upbringing.
That's it. I think he's wonderful. His family is wonderful. They were very supportive of this film, and I can't thank him enough. And General Schwarzkopf as well. He just, you know, all we did was write him a letter, and he said he'd be happy to do the interview. And nobody that was featured in the film, including Mary Wirch, and there is Stephanie Donaldson-Pressman, who wrote another book that is featured in the film called The Narcissistic Family, which is an amazing book. And don't let the title throw you, because what she's basically saying is that anytime children are raised in an environment where their emotional needs are secondary to something else, even if that something else is very admirable, like the military mission, it can affect them in all the same way. In the long term, and it's just fascinating to read about some of this stuff. But General Schwarzkopf and Kris Kristofferson were the only two celebrities that were in the film, and I did that purposefully. I didn't want this to be just a celebrity kind of thing. I wanted to talk to the brats who would open up about their feelings, their emotions, and it's amazing how articulate these people were, much more than I could have ever been, about what happened to them and how they feel about it and looking back and reflecting back and that kind of thing. And I'm just grateful that they were able to articulate those feelings much better than I could have.
Well, we were talking earlier about tolerance, and I think that the military community is such a melting pot I mean, it just, you know, transcends culture and race, and it's just an amazing experience for those of us who might not otherwise be exposed to so many different races and cultures. And I noticed George June, who is featured in the film,
oh, yes,
said that his experience with the military, he found that there was zero tolerance for racism. And I didn't see, you know, what followed or how that storyline develops or if it does in your film. But I was wondering if you found through the film, do you think that the military was ahead of the curve when it came to topics like integration and race relations?
No doubt about it. In fact, that was my initial interest in this subculture before I knew it was a subculture. When I saw my friends in Washington, D.C., they were all different colors, I think I'd said earlier, and I thought, you know, these kids really are a living study in race relations. Mm-hmm. And I went back, and that's what I was initially interested in, and I think the military, there's so much to be learned from these children. It's an amazing thing, and no one has ever studied this topic. I really don't understand it. They've
Which
studied.
Because you're right. In our culture, this was really the first true interracial melting pot.
Well, you know, it's funny because there's Olga Ramos, who was the daughter of a general, is also featured in the film. And I love the term that she used, that she said she didn't think it was so much a melting pot, but a great big salad bowl.
Oh, that's...
And I love that because I don't think people were asked to lose their ethnicity or to lose what made, you know, what they felt was unique about themselves, but they also belonged to something that they thought was just as important, which was being an American. And if you moved overseas, it was being a world citizen. You were in the military. You were, you know, green and blue and khaki as opposed to being black and yellow and red and that kind of thing. I found across the board that was the one thing that military brats felt the strongest about, that they loved about that life, was being exposed to so many different cultures and races and different ways of thinking, and it completely changed the way they viewed the world. I mean, after this, I believe that if every child in the world had to go live somewhere in another country for a year of their life, this would be a very different world.
Absolutely. I agree.
Absolutely.
I have a question for you from CK in our chat room, and she wanted to know what specific skills you feel like you have learned and didn't learn from being a military brat.
Well, I think the skills that I did learn were some that Ginger had talked about, too. You know, you can talk to anybody. You can go anywhere. I'm not daunted by change. I can handle change, sometimes maybe too well. I can, the sense of mission that Mary Wirtz talks about in her book, I think that I got that directly from growing up a military brat, that it was important to do something for somebody other than just yourself. The tolerance, and I don't think you can underestimate the effect of the travel, going different places, even if it's just in the United States, that you know it's just not all the same, that different people have different points of view, and that's okay. I think that's, those are the wonderful skills that I got. I think some of the more challenging legacies that I had to overcome were trust issues, you know, trusting people too easily or not at all, some boundary issues, because there's some real thin boundaries between children and the environment that they live in. You know, when a child is a reflection of his parent, when what a child does can affect a parent's career, that's a lot of pressure on a little kid, and I don't think it's really necessary. And I think what that does is when you get older is you don't learn boundaries as well as maybe you should, that you say things that, oh, you mean people just don't talk about whatever comes to the top of their mind?
Well, you know, that's interesting because just last week, Ginger was talking about how she knew what she did you know, if she got in trouble on base, her father was going to get in trouble. And if her father got in trouble, as she put it, all hell was going to break loose. And in the film, one of the Milbrats featured in your film said that he knew anything he did reflected directly back on his father and his career. And he
too. I also said that I thought that was a good thing.
See, and I think
it teaches you that your actions don't just affect yourself. Your actions affect others. And I think that sometimes we lose that because there isn't a lot of accountability some days nowadays, you know, that we don't easily learn that I need to be aware of my own behavior and how that affects others.
Yeah, I mean, I can see why you say that, but with all due respect, I guess I completely disagree as far as that's concerned. I think that's too much pressure on a child. And what that does is when you get older, you start taking response. It's kind of like you take responsibility for things you have no control over, because that's what happens as a kid. You don't have control over those things, but you don't take responsibility for things that you do have control over. And I think it's easier on the families to keep control of the children, but, you know, children need to make mistakes. They need to learn from their mistakes. They need to know that it's okay to make a mistake and that the consequences are not so skewed and out of control. I mean, if a child gets caught doing something bad or they get caught shoplifting or whatever they do, you know, that happens. And your dad should not lose his job because of that. And maybe they really don't, but I think from the questionnaires and the research that I did, the perception that they would is there for the family. And I think that there are just more healthy ways to teach children to be responsible for their actions than to say, if you mess up, you're going to destroy the entire family.
Don, I have a question for you that was emailed in. And what he wants to know is if you found, over the different generations of male spouses that you interviewed, what similarities and what differences did you find?
Can you repeat that question? I'm sorry.
Over the different generations of male spouses male brats that you interviewed, what differences and similarities did you find? I think that means, I guess you interviewed people from the post-World War II era, the Vietnam era, and more modern era.
To be honest, they weren't huge. I mean, I interviewed people from their 20s to their 70s, and we've been showing the film to teenagers. And they all, I mean, the 12 and 15-year-olds in the audience are like, I really related to almost everything in there. And I would talk to 20-year-olds, and they sounded just like the 70-year-old. I mean, obviously, small things have changed. I mean, well, not necessarily so small, but, I mean, the kids today have the Internet. They can keep in touch with each other. At the same time, you know, if you're moving every 2 years and you're spending all your time talking to your old friends, how are you going to make new friends kind of thing?
Right.
So there are different issues that come up now. I do think that the military is trying very hard. I mean, they're doing a lot more now with family services than they ever did in the past. The difficulty is they don't really have complete medical confidentiality. Like, we showed the film at Camp Lejeune recently, and I remember there was a soldier in the audience with his wife and his kids, and we were talking about some things afterwards, and I said, yeah, the family services is here. I said, if you just came back from Iraq, and if you felt you needed to talk to somebody, would you go to family services? And he was like, no. And the wife was like, no, I wouldn't either. So there's still that stigma and perception that, no, I can't show any kind of weakness. I mean, I think still people consider it a weakness to go to family services or to
seek help.
They're afraid. Yeah, they're afraid that it will reflect on their careers. Yeah, so I think I hope that's one thing that current military spouses will really encourage their, you know, the spouses and the military as an institution to try to start giving these people true medical confidentiality so they feel free to get the help that they need.
Well, do you find, or did you find, and not just now, but as you were growing up a military brat, that when you tell someone you're a military brat, I know this is the case when I tell them I'm a military spouse, the very first thing out of their mouth is, oh, how do you handle the moving? And you know what? The issues are so much larger. If only everything were as simple as a move.
Oh, I know. I know.
On your website, you have, you know, different categories, life as a brat, and it's about living overseas, integration, moving is one of them, living on base, the family dynamic. So there's so many issues, but people automatically say, oh, the move, how do you do that?
And I think that's all they know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that's why I think it's so important that not just military brats, but civilians and other people learn about our culture and talk about it and see the film and talk with their family members. Everybody knows brats. They're your parents or your kids, your spouses. I love when the spouses of military brats see this film and they're like, oh, that's why.
That's like that.
That's why you do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting, though, the military brats now, and you kind of touched on this in the beginning, Andy, are dealing with a whole other realm than we dealt with, because even when our parents went to war, there was no contact.
Oh, and you have more contact now.
You have more contact, and you have much more information out there.
Yes.
And I think sometimes, you know, when we talk on MilSpouse about how traumatic it is for the spouses, but I cannot imagine how traumatic that kind of news and that kind of information must be for the mil brats that are growing up, to have that much information about your father or your mother's, you know, unit, where they're at and what's
mm-hmm.
happening in that area has got to add a level of stress that was not there when we were growing up.
Yeah, and there's two other things to look at as well. Number one is although that the families can relate back and forth with their spouses now overseas, there are fewer Americans that are directly involved in this war than in any of the wars in the past. Particularly in Vietnam or World War II. So a lot of times, there's no one to really talk to, particularly for the kids, and if they're going to non-DOD schools.
Well, and particularly, God bless them, the Garden Reserve kids.
Oh, my goodness. It's really difficult for them.
And those families, because they truly do not even have the complete military family package like we in the active duty have.
Yeah, that's true.
We have an active duty base, and we have all of that stuff within our geographic, immediate geographic location.
And they're prepared for it.
Right. And they're, God bless them, they truly give so much.
It's very difficult. And the other thing is, I know that Purdue just finished a study. I read that recently that they interviewed a number of teenagers who had parents overseas deployed, and they said over and over again, yeah, there's just no one for me to talk to about my feelings that has actually been there. Because a lot of times, and this is another thing that Mary Wirtz had initially brought up in her book, was, you know, most military spouses, unlike you, Ginger, most of them are actually from rooted backgrounds. They're not military. And so they join people who then go into the military or who are already in the military, but they raise children who they have nothing in common with.
Well, and the other thing, too, is they get into the military life and they don't have the expectation of what it's going to be like. And often you hear people talk to military spouses and say, well, you knew what it was going to be when you married a military man. Which, you know, other than a mil brat,
right.
Even as a mil spouse, it's a totally different experience than it was as a mil brat. So,
oh, yeah. And the kids didn't have any choice.
Right.
And the other thing that I was learning recently, which I thought was fascinating, was just the effect of trauma. I was reading something the other day that said the effect a child from like when they're born to about 3 or 5, I can't remember the exact number, but it says the child's brain can actually not differentiate between imagined trauma and real trauma. So if you have a 3-year-old whose daddy is away at war, and that child is imagining that daddy is dying in that war, it is affecting the chemicals in his brain the same way that it would be affected if his father actually died.
Yeah, you know, that's, yes, we just learned just a couple months back, military spouses go through the same thing, and as odd as it sounds, when our husbands or wives leave, we actually go through the process of burying them,
mm-hmm.
anticipatory grief, and it's, I know it sounds like the most morbid, nutty thing to outsiders particularly, but we go through that thought process and we grieve for them as if they were dead.
Yes.
So it's interesting that military children do the same thing.
Yes, and it's very traumatizing. And, you know, it's, so it's not only the soldiers that are coming back a lot of times with post-traumatic stress, it's the families that have it as well. And are the children getting treated the way they need to be for post-traumatic stress? Are the spouses being treated for that? Do they even understand that's what's happening?
Right, exactly.
So these are, I mean, there's just so many different issues and the effect of these guys going over there and women going over there two, three, four times.
Mm-hmm.
It's just massive.
Right, absolutely. Well, I'm looking at the clock, and I can't believe we're down to 9 minutes. We could talk for hours and hours. So that I wanted to give you a chance to talk about is you're working on some upcoming projects. So if you could tell us about those and how maybe our listeners and readers could participate in those.
Oh, great. Yeah, well, we are still accepting questionnaires on the website. If you go to the site at bratsfilm.com, they can, I think the Contact Us page or something, you can write us and say that you wanted to fill out one of the questionnaires, because really nobody is collecting a lot of this information. So even if we can't use it all, you know, a college at some point should be able to. But what I'm working on immediately will be, I'm putting together a DVD based on Stephanie Pressman, who is a psychotherapist in the book. We did a very extensive interview with her. And so for people that want to delve more into the psychological effects and things, I'm putting together about an hour, hour and a half DVD of just her and what she found in her research. And one of the other documentaries I am working on will be something that delves more into the race topics.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I really want to do that. And we're working on a feature film, a coming-of-age film based on military brats growing up in Asia.
Well, you know what I think you should do, Donna, because clearly you're not busy enough.
Okay.
You need to do a film called
Military Spouse Buzz.
Called Houses, Our Journey Everywhere. What do you think, Ginger?
It sounds good. I know. Every time we show the film, it's like, well, when are you going to do one on military spouses? I wanted to ask you guys, well, what do you think about this new show, Army Wives? I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, there's been such a discussion about it on Spouse Buzz, and I think overall everyone loves it. They're hooked on it. There's a few things. I think initially, after the first episode aired, everyone either hated it or loved it immediately, and there was this visceral reaction. But I think that you have to sit back and realize this isn't a reality show. It's entertainment based on, you know, what it's like to be an Army wife. But I've found it interesting, and I like it, and I think it's going to be, well, it already is. It's a ratings, it's shattered ratings, and I'm enjoying it.
Oh, great. Well, I'll have to watch it. I just was curious. I know they tried to do something in the past about military brass, but I don't think they've ever really gotten it right for the kids.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'll do something in the future, but I think it would be nice if they did.
Yeah, it would be. You need to look into that.
Now, one of the things I do want to say before we leave, I know the film does look at some very difficult issues. We do deal with depression, abuse, things that happen, you know, the fallout of PTSD when soldiers come back and start self-medicating with alcohol and that kind of thing. And, you know, obviously not every family goes through this. I think you're talking about 15 million kids or 15 million brats. But I thought it was very important that the ones that did understand that, number one, they're not alone, and number two, that all of us do care. And, you know, I like to say that every soldier doesn't come back with his legs missing, but we still care about the ones that do. And some military brats handle this kind of life and come out of it with all these wonderful strengths, and there are some that they couldn't handle it. Well, and it was hard, and I think that we need to care about those as well.
No, I think you're absolutely right, and I'm wondering if you found, I know with Spouse Buzz, I really wanted it to be an honest place where we could talk about the ups and downs, and I think you know, that's hard to do in a public forum because sometimes, as one spouse put it, we want to put on an extra tough exterior because we're so conscious of, you know, military families are really in the spotlight now. And,
right.
But at the same time, it is important to talk about the more challenging aspects of the life we face. And it doesn't mean we don't like this life.
Right.
I'm speaking only for myself, but, you know, I love it and I wouldn't change it for anything. It's been the most wonderful experience. But sometimes, you know, you have to bear your soul and warts and all, and that's what we do at SpouseBuzz. Did you find when you were dealing with these challenging circumstances that the people that you talked to were a little reluctant to bear their soul?
Initially, I would just ask, but I think people really need to talk about these things. One of the things I truly believe is that you can't, and maybe I'm wrong, but I believe that you can't fully employ the strengths that you have until you are willing to look at your weaknesses. And, you know, I know that's the way it's worked for me. And so I thought that was very important to show those different things. And I think most of the brats were willing to open up. I mean, people were ready to talk about these things. No, I didn't. Sometimes people are reluctant because it's like, oh, you're not supposed to air your dirty laundry, you know, that kind of thing. But it's the film is not about the institution. It's about the children, and some people had some good experiences, and some people had more challenging and negative experiences. But that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Usually we have both at the very same time. You know? And I really became comfortable with paradox after I made this film, which I probably wasn't very comfortable with to begin with. But all these things happen at the exact same time, and it's just part of the life, and we just do the best that we can do to, you know, alleviate some of the difficulties and to encourage the strengths, because military kids have a lot of strengths. And I really appreciate you talking about these things and the spouses getting out there and talking about it. It doesn't always happen.
No, it doesn't happen. And I think it's more, I don't know if I can say more important, but it's very important today because our lives are debated, you know, in Congress, pundits talk about our lives. People who don't have any idea what our lives are really like use it, you know, for whatever purposes. And I think it's important that we let them know that we can speak for ourselves and
yes.
And let them know what it really is like. We don't need other people who don't have any idea what it's like to talk for us. So I think that's actually liberating.
Yeah, and without politicizing
yes,
it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, right. Well, I want to remind everybody that on SpouseBuzz that we have several links to the website for Bratz, and it's an extensive website. Take your time, peruse through there, watch the trailer there. You can order the DVD there, and the web address is... Now, you have a shorter web address, Donna.
Yes, it's easier. We did that because the bratsourjourneyhome.com was a little bit long. So you can also reach us at bratsfilm.com, just bratsfilm.com.
Okay. So go to bratsfilm.com, take a look at this, buy a DVD, let everybody know about it, because this is an important project, and it's very interesting. To me, a history major, very interesting from a historical perspective because there is some rare and old archived film footage, and I think that's a great thing to have in there. We want to thank our guest, Donna Musel, filmmaker and Army brat, for joining us today. Donna, it has been an interesting hour. I can't believe it's already gone by so fast. Like I said, I think we could talk to you for hours.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Andy, and it was really nice to meet you, Ginger.
Oh, you too. Thank you for coming on. What a great conversation.
Oh, thank you.
So thanks again to Donna. We enjoyed our conversation tonight, and we will put up another link at SpouseBuzz so that you can browse the website, and I think these DVDs might make a very good holiday gifts for people. Ginger, thank you so much for joining us, too.
Oh, thanks, Andy, for having me.
Military brat and military spouse. Okay, guys, we're going to do this again, same time next week, 6 o'clock Eastern Time. We will have another program for you, and we'll announce that guest next week. Hope you have a good week, and we'll see you on the blog.